This is Pulse 95. Keeping it local.
Keeping it local. All day, every day.
Pulse 95.
Heart of Sharjah.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuemi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Hello, hello, lovely listeners. Welcome back to Kalam Astro on our beautiful month of Ramadan. We've had lots of interesting discussions about how the Holy Quran is connected to space and astronomy, and we've discussed extraterrestrial life, and we brought evidence of it in the Holy Quran. We have discussed the end of the universe and the Big Bang theory and how is it related to the Holy Quran, and we also talked about how the universe has expanded and how is it related again to the Holy Quran. And the journey is still on because we've got lots and lots to explore, especially when it comes to stars, astronomy and celestial movements. Yes, our discussion for tonight is going to be all about celestial movements and how is it related to the great book which was revealed 8,400 years ago, the Holy Quran. So stay tuned, don't go anywhere. The journey has just started. So keep your radio waves on Pulse 95.
You're listening to Pulse 95.
Pulse 95.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuemi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Welcome back to all of the lovely space explorers to the most cosmic radio show in the galaxy, Kalam Astro on Pulse 95. Now, I hope that all of you have enjoyed your iftar on your Ramadan sufra. Sufra means table, like the food table, and what sorts of food you have placed as you broke your fast during Ramadan. Text us on 4215. I'd love to hear what you guys have on the table. What do you eat during Ramadan? Dates are a must. Samosa are a must, of course, but I would love to hear, what do you guys eat during Ramadan? And what are you eating now while you're listening to me, right? So yeah, while you're listening to me on Kalam Astro. Right, so anyway, let's get back to our fascinating space discussions. Right, because tonight we will be diving into the mesmerizing connection between celestial movements and the Holy Quran. Now, the Holy Quran, as always, has had so many connections to space, and we've discussed a few of them previously. We've discussed the expanse of the universe, we've discussed the Big Bang theory, we've discussed also extraterrestrial life and how is it possible that the Holy Quran has actually mentioned extraterrestrial life in the book, even though it was dated 8,400 years ago before even technology or even scientists have ever thought of exploring space the way it is, right? So it's the sacred book of us Muslims, or Islam, and it contains fascinating references to the stars, the moon and the sun. So it's like a divine guidebook to the universe, and this is what has astonished so many scientists who are interested in astronomy and the space sector, because they've gone through myriads of, let's say, conclusions or research that they've delved into that has gotten them to accept the religion Islam if they were not, or let's say have reverted to Islam if they were not Muslims, after realizing that the Holy Quran is not just a sacred book of Islam, it's a book that contains fascinating miracles about space. Now, this will be in our next segment, because we will be talking about how the Quran mentions the celestial wonders that we will be talking about tonight, of course, from the orbits of the planets to the phases of the moon. So I would definitely love all of you to get ready to be starstruck, let's say, by the cosmic wisdom in the Holy Quran, but I shall keep it as a secret for all of you guys to be anticipated, or let's say look forward to our next segment, which is coming right up after this very, very short introductory segment of Kalam Astro. So this way, I will and would always encourage you to not change the radio waves. We still have lots and lots to discuss and talk about, so keep it right here with us on Pulse 95.
Talk about radio.
Talk about radio.
It's Pulse 95.
Pulse 95.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuemi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Welcome back to Kalam Astro, and I hope that you've enjoyed our short break before we start our amazing journey when it comes to the relation of the Holy Quran to space. Now, our topic, or let's say our highlight for tonight, is the celestial movements that happen in space. So what are celestial movements, and how did astronomy start in ancient times, and how did they discover the celestial movements in general? So we will have to take a journey through ancient astronomy. Now, long time ago, even before smartphones and computers, of course, people used to always look up at the night sky. And I'm sure everyone knows that, because there were no technology. So they saw something magical, right? So the magical thing that they saw were the stars that twinkled like diamonds in a dark velvet blanket. So this is how it all began. Now, ancient civilizations like the Egyptians, the Greeks, and Babylonians were like space detectives. We can say they have been very fascinated with the stars and how they twinkled. So they noticed that the stars, the moon, and sun moved in special ways because they kept looking at the night sky. Now, I have to stop here and pause for a minute. Now, when you think about ancient times night sky, it's completely different than our night sky now. Now, if you look at the sky at the moment, or in our times, you probably might catch a star or two, max 10 stars. But before, in old times, of course, there was no light pollution. And because there were no light pollution, these stars have shined so bright, you can lose count of how many stars in the beauty of the night. And yes, there are too many stars. I mean, we always have to lose count of how many stars are there, because definitely you can't keep counting them. But what I mean, it used to be very crowded with stars, not just like our normal sky or night sky at the moment when it is polluted by light, right? So anyway, let's get back to the topic with the ancient civilizations, just like the Egyptians, the Greeks, and the Babylonians, who were really, really interested in the night sky and the twinkly stars. Right, so they noticed that these stars and the moon and the sun have moved in special ways. So they saw the patterns in the stars, and therefore they called them constellations. And why do they call them constellations? Because it's just like connect the dots games in the sky. Now, to unlock the secrets of the heavens, of course, scientists or astronomers have invented a cool gadget, which are called sundials. These sundials have helped them tell the time. So they told the time using sundials. And these observations using sundials did let them spy on the stars. So imagine having a telescope made of sticks and stones only. No technology, no electricity. But they've done a great job, I can say, because what they've learned was fascinating. Now, by watching these stars and using the sundials, they figured out that the sun rises in the east and sets in the west every day. The moon, too, had its own dance, of course, changing shapes like a cosmic chameleon, we can say. Right? So all of this was discovered by the amazing astronomers in ancient times using sundials. Now, they started then to connect the dots, and they've connected it with the universe. Now, one famous place called Stonehenge in England was like a giant space calendar. They used it to track the sun and the stars, just like a game of hide and seek, we can say, with the cosmos. And it's amazing, simply amazing. Now, for today's space cadets, of course, today, super smart astronomers are there with high technology telescopes. They can explore the universe in ways our ancient friends, of course, could not only even dream of. They discover new planets, stars, and galaxies, and they're still exploring the expansion of our cosmic horizons. Now, that does not undermine the efforts of ancient times or ancient time scientists or astronomers, because they've done pretty much of a good job with no technology. So I would say that their efforts are much, much appreciated. Well, that was a breakdown of how astronomy started in ancient times, and how did they find out about celestial movements. Coming up next, we will be talking where celestial movements are mentioned in the Holy Quran and get to tell the connection between the two. So stay tuned and don't go anywhere. Keep it right here with us on Pulse 95.
This is Pulse 95.
95.
It's a Sharjah story.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al Nwemi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
And now I can say it's the moment of truth, where we can talk about the connection of space and the Holy Quran. Now, when we talked about celestial movements, we found out in the previous segment how ancient astronomers and, let's say, scientists have discovered astronomy and celestial movements and what they did using sundials, right? But little did the astronomers know that before they even discovered or created or invented sundials, the Holy Quran, which dates back 1,400 years, have actually spoken about celestial movements. And the Quran has spoken about the sun, the moon, and the stars, and the phases. Isn't that simply amazing? This itself gives me goosebumps, to be honest. So let's start tackling the amazing surahs, right? So there are so many surahs, but I'll focus on one. One example in the Holy Quran. So there is in Surah Al-Furqan, Surah 25, verse 61. I'll read it in Arabic first, and then we'll read it in English.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. تبارك الذي جعل في السماء بروجا وجعل فيها سراجا وقمرا منيرا وهو الذي جعل الليل والنهار خلفة لمن أراد أن يذكر أو أراد شكورا.
That's the next verse, which is verse number 62. So the first verse says in English, please lend me your ears and heart. It says,
blessed is the one who places the constellations in heaven and placed a lamp and a moon giving light.
The second verse goes on saying,
and it is he who has made the night and the day in succession for whoever desires to remember or desires gratitude.
So basically, it means it is Allah who made the night and day follow and replace each other. For anyone who wishes to take a lesson from Allah's signs and come onto the right path or wishes to be grateful to Allah for his favors.
Do you see, guys, how constellations are mentioned in a book which has been revealed 1,400 years ago? Isn't that just simply amazing?
So in the verses, the sun is described as a lamp and the moon as a light, with the sun being even more so, providing greater heat and light during the day. However, the moon is seen as a coma, providing tranquility in the night, so it's just light.
So both are described so eloquently within poetry in the verses, and this what makes the Quran so simply amazing and miraculous, to be honest.
So the Quran has also described the celestial movement of the sun and the moon and their orbiting, because the moon orbiting the earth and the earth orbiting the sun way before modern astronomy have even picked it up using their sundials. So for example, most of the explanations when it came to the sun in the Holy Quran was vital during the time of the prophets, because it would tell you what the time of the day was, therefore this allows you to know which prayer to pray. So each prayer is perfectly aligned with the timings of the sun, and this is definitely important in our religion because we have prayer times, right? Going to the moon is also important because there's a story of the split of the moon, or the splitting of the moon, which I will be discussing. I will be talking about that tomorrow, so I do not want to ruin this story for you guys. It is just simply amazing. So the moon is also a symbol of religion, right? And the half crescent, of course, moon, which is one of the moon phases, would highlight the holy month of Ramadan, which what we are in at the moment, right? And ends with the start of Eid al-Fitr. Simply amazing, to be honest. How did this Holy Quran talk about the word constellations was mentioned in the Holy Quran 1,400 years ago, even before people or astronomers have discovered stars and constellations? Simply amazing. Always gives me goosebumps, to be honest. It's just flowing with miracles. And if you talk about other topics like biology, you'll be fascinated simply. But because we're discussing space here on Kalam Astro, we can only stick to stars, constellations, and anything space related. A quick break and we will be coming back. Don't go anywhere. We still have more to discuss on Kalam Astro right here on Pulse 95.
This is Pulse 95.
Pulse 95.
It's a Shaja story.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nwemi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Now, at the moment, I thought I should give you this very, very light segment which talks about some space facts that might blow your mind and you'll be amazed by the information. So it's a very, very light segment and I must say a fun segment to listen to. So let's start with some amazing space facts. As always, I do that from time to time, of course, on Kalam Astro. So I thought this would be the right time to discuss the amazing space facts that I have on the way. So my list starts with the did you know that all of the stars, galaxies and planets only make up 4% of the universe. And yes, you've heard that correctly, because scientists can't explain the other 96% of the galaxy, at least not yet, we can say. But of course, NASA is still aiming to, let's say, shed light on the mysteries or the mysterious phenomena like dark matter and dark energy. And we did talk about that a lot of times on Kalam Astro, if you guys have been keeping up with me since this show has started. So it's just amazing how much of space we still have not yet explored and what we have to explore. Yeah, and I can say how much we've yet to understand is, yeah, 4%. You guys get the deal. My other fascinating space fact is, it's also true that, on average, a bit of debris crashes back to Earth about once a week. Now, it's mostly larger satellites that have survived the fiery re-entry process, and truth to be told, they are more often than not land in the ocean. Sorry to hear that. Or in some remote areas. So there's a whole team of researchers dedicated to tracking space debris and monitoring its risk of colliding with Earth. And as far as scientists know, no one has died by being struck by a bit of old satellite. So it's all good at the moment and everything is under control, I can say. It's a good thing that those researchers keep us safe from all space debris. And another fascinating space fact is that anytime you look up at the sky, you're actually seeing the universe as it was in the past. So if you look at an object 50 million light years away, we're actually seeing what the object looked like 50 million years ago, because that's how long it took the light to travel from the object to our eyes. So we're literally looking away at history. So it makes you wonder if there's anything out there looking at what Earth looked like 50 million years ago. This is so weird. Time is just so weird. One more, and the last one, is that if you fell into a black hole, you will get stretched out like a spaghetti. And it's called, fittingly enough, spaghettification. This term is actually used to describe the physical change of what would happen to you if you fell into a black hole. So it will be a vertical stretching by a gravitational pull that would destroy anything and everything, even light, even you. Yeah, so basically you get spaghettified. You stretch just like a spaghetti if you get near a black hole. Now, these were some fun facts. We'll be definitely sharing more and more fun facts about space and the upcoming Kalam Astro episodes. For now, we will go on a quick break to return to Kalam Astro in a while, so keep it right here with us on Pulse 95.
You're listening to Pulse 95. Pulse 95. This is Pulse 95. Pulse 95.
Keeping it local, all day, every day.
This is Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
Kalam Astro.
With Ali Al-Nuemi.
On Pulse 95.
95.
Welcome back to our final segment of Kalam Astro. I can honestly say that tonight was a very, very light discussion about some amazing space discussions and how the Holy Quran is connected to space. It was simply amazing, and I must say that I've enjoyed talking about the Holy Quran. Right, so just to give a quick wrap-up on what we've discussed tonight, we've talked about the connection of celestial movements and the Holy Quran. We've also discussed celestial movements and explained how astronomy has starting from ancient times, and how astronomers have invented sundials, which got to tell them how to track stars and how they've named them constellations. And surprisingly, the Holy Quran have actually exceeded astronomers 8,400 years ago, mentioning the word constellations in a book which was revealed, again, 8,400 years ago, and that is simply amazing and a miracle. We also talked about the significance of these star constellations and the sun and the moon phases or movements, as it tells the prayer times for us Muslims, and also the moon phases can also help us to know and find out when Ramadan is starting and when Eid al-Fitr is starting. So basically, this is how Islam or the Holy Quran is related to space and astronomy. And of course, we've talked about some fascinating facts about space. We've talked about spaghettification, and we've talked about how the universe can be 50 million light years away, and that would mean that we're looking to the past if we look ahead. And we also spoke about space debris and how there are some space agencies who are tracking the space debris just to make sure that nothing falls off on us. And that was a simply amazing discussion. Now, I promised all of you guys that we will be talking about the moon splitting story of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and that's going to be tomorrow. So I do encourage all of you to stay tuned and mark your calendars for tomorrow's discussions and story, because it will be a fun, super fun one with scientific evidence as well related. So for now, I think we will have to part ways and meet up tomorrow night. So I wish you a very, very good night, I would say, and a very, very happy stargazing time as you listen to Pulse 95.
You're listening to Pulse 95.
Pulse 95.
This is Pulse 95. With a story to tell.